Going to go to Romans chapter 10 today to start. The topic of today's teaching is called How to Have Faith. We've been looking at a lot of things over the last little while related to, and again, this is going to be in the context of healing, although this teaching will apply to obviously all areas. But specifically, we've been looking at healing and deliverance. So we've looked at, as you know, and again, I said I would remind you, so I will continue to remind you about the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, in that everything that Jesus Christ accomplished through redemption is available to all mankind all the time. That includes salvation, that includes healing and deliverance. And that is guaranteed by God's word itself. In Isaiah 53 and Matthew 8 and 1 Peter 2, you can put all those, we've put all those together. And then we saw that Jesus Christ walked in that authority and that power to bring deliverance to people. He walked in the power and authority that he has now given to us. And we looked at the healing records throughout the Bible, most of them. And we saw that some, you know, common characteristics we saw time and time again in those records was where, you know, Jesus Christ commanded things to be done. The men in Acts commanded things to be done in the name of Jesus Christ. That was a change into Acts. But the end result was that people were always delivered. Deliverance was always available. There's no record, no cases where it didn't work. Just the only one record we saw where it didn't work initially, Jesus Christ talked to the apostles and said, well, you know, what happened? And they said, well, it's because of your unbelief. And this is after they had done many things, which shows you that faith is not something that's quantitative, but you have it or you don't in situations. Because if it was quantitative, then why couldn't the apostles do it that time, but they had been able to do it successfully before? See, it's up to you in a situation to have it or not. And we took the time to look at that last week, in some little bit of detail as to how faith is not quantity, but either you have it or you don't. And you must. And we noticed that in all the records, it has to exist. Without it, nothing's going to happen. So either the person ministering in the case of healing, or the person being ministered to, or somebody else in the situation, there's got to be faith. It's got to exist in order for things to happen. And so today we'll look at how do we get faith? How do we get to the point where we can have that faith when it's necessary? And this is by no means a complete lesson on that, but I'm going to look at one specific element of that today. And we'll start in Romans chapter 10. And I will say that I've mistaught this verse before. And so I'll start with an apology. I wish I had seen it sooner, but anyhow. Romans chapter 10. I'll tell you which verse. Maybe we've all taught this. I don't know. But I know I have. And in Romans 10, because we used to tell people that if you want to have faith, this is what we would always tell them. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that is what I have taught in the past. And if I looked at the context, I would have thought that, you know, well, maybe that isn't quite accurate. And if you even just think about it logically for a second, that can't possibly be true. Because if I tell somebody, if you want to have faith in an area, all you got to do is hear it a lot of times, then you'll have faith. That's not true. And we're going to see that in the context, exactly what is true. So what is it saying there? We'll look at that right now. And we'll start in chapter 10, verse 1. We'll see very, very clearly. Romans 10, 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So the context of this chapter is what? Salvation. And specifically to Israel, but salvation in general. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which the faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. In other words, we need Jesus Christ back here to have any kind of faith. No, that's not what it says. That's not the righteousness. He says, what is it? Verse 8, what saith it? The word is nigh thee. You have the word of God. Don't need Jesus Christ to be brought back from the dead or brought down or all that. The word has been given. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. The word is there. That is the word of faith which we preach. And this is verse 9, as we all know, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So here we are, the word has been given. And, you know, even just reading that verse, it should be very obvious what the context is telling us here. Because here in verse 9, we're told, if you confess with your mouth Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, you could tell somebody 1,000 times, you know, if you confess Jesus is Lord and believe God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You can tell a person 1,000 times, and 1,000 times, will they actually have faith to do that? No. What is it going to take for the people you're telling 1,000 times to have faith? Very simple. Confess and believe. Just hearing the message about salvation is not enough for you to get saved. That's rather obvious, isn't it? But a person has to do what on the Word of God? They have to do what the Word of God says. That is faith. It's not just hearing it, but it's actually doing it. So, you know, I know I've told my family, much of my family, you got to make Jesus your Lord and believe that God written. Sure, you got to hear it. But hearing it and hearing and hearing and hearing it will not bring the faith to act on it. A person has to make the decision to act on it. It's a very, very simple lesson, but boy, it's very powerful in the scriptures. Verse 10. For the heart, with the heart, man believeth, and with the mouth, confession. See, you have to act on God's word in order for it to be faith in that word. I think we might remember being told over the years that believing is action, right? Believing is action. You must act. That's faith. Until you do that, there's no faith there. Okay, keep reading. For there is no... 11. For whoso, the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever believeth, not just heareth about him. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What do you got to do? You got to call. Not just hear about the name of the Lord. You got to call. You see, the whole context is what? There's a message, but that message must be acted on. It must be believed in order for faith to come. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, that's pretty clear. You're not going to ever have a chance to believe something until you hear it. Absolutely. So the first step is hearing. Absolutely. That's why the message has to be made known. But once it's made known, in order to turn into faith, you have to act on it. You have to believe it. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? And that's wonderfully quoted from Isaiah 53, when we started looking at the redemption of Jesus Christ. Who has believed our report? In other words, it's not just the report. You have to believe the report. And that's the report in Isaiah 53, which talks about salvation and healing by the work of Jesus Christ. You have to believe that report, right? So then, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. So what do you have to do when you hear the gospel? You have to obey it. Hearing is one thing. Obedience is quite another. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you can tell in the entire context is what? You have to act on what you have heard. Who has believed our report? It's not just the report. I can hear the report 1,000 times, but until I act on it, no faith. So, you know, if we, and this is, this is good from the point of view, if I, you know, and I said, like I've taught in the past that, you know, if you want to have faith in an area, you just hear it and hear it and hear it, eventually you'll have faith. Well, that's not what the Word of God is telling us, is it? The context is very simple. When you hear the report, you have to believe it. You have to act on it. So when a person confesses and believes, guess what? And guess what? You don't even know what the end result is. In fact, the end result of this Romans 10, 9, and 10 is believers spending the rest of their lives understanding what they got into. The work of Christ and how that is a blessing to all of us. And we have no idea what the that was when we first believed. You just believed. You had faith. Look at the results it brought to you. Right? So, and that was probably, and it is no without doubt, the greatest result that you'll ever accomplish by faith is by believing on the name of Jesus Christ. Would you agree with that? Guess what? Eternity, eternal life, blessings, and all the things, righteousness, sanctification, all the things that it brings. And you did it very, very simply, but you had to do it. You had to act on that information that you were presented. And that's what faith is. It's acting on the information that we have received. In other words, here it's saying faith comes by hearing. Did you really hear? Oh yeah, I know that's true. Well, if you someone tells you that, you know, even someone tells you, oh, I know that's true. I agree with the fact that you have to believe on Jesus Christ and confess to get salvation, but they don't do it. Guess what? No faith, no salvation. Just agreeing with something is not the same as having faith and walking out on it. So the key thing there is now when we talk about healing, can you heal somebody? What does the Word of God say? Matthew, one place we've read is Mark 16. They say, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Well, what's the action if you want to exercise their faith? You got to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Otherwise, you can sit back and think about it all day, all your life, and hear it and hear it and hear it, and read it and read it and read it. But until I act on that information, there's no faith there. Right. Make sense? Okay, let's go to... And in the process of doing that, you know, certainly God will always be with us. We need additional information and all that. He's faithful to do that for us. Absolutely. James chapter 1. And James chapter 1. James, the book of James, written most likely by the Lord's brother, James, as far as everybody knows. And it was most likely written between 50 and 60 A.D. and probably one of the first epistles, if not the first epistle of the New Testament, is the book of James, as far as we know. Martin Luther called this epistle, the epistle of James, he called it an epistle of straw. Because what he was saying there was because he felt that it contradicted justification by faith that talks it's spoken about in Romans, because the just shall live by faith was a great verse that turned Martin Luther's life around. So he said, oh, James isn't really, he actually said it wasn't entirely the Word of God and all that, and although he did include it in his German translation, because he couldn't understand the contradiction between just shall live by faith and what James says. And we're going to see that now. We understand that the Word of God cannot contradict itself. We know that. So whatever James is saying must agree with what the rest of the scriptures say. And we, as we see, it's very simple. It absolutely does. But again, the key lesson here we're trying to look at is how to have faith. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So if you need wisdom, then ask God. But let him ask in So we ask to ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Now it's interesting, we looked last week at Peter on the water. And in fact, he literally wavered by looking at the wind and the water around him, all the stuff that was happening, and caused him to sink. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. That's verse 6. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So, according to scriptures, if we waver or have doubt about situations, are we going to receive anything? No, nothing, right? And that lines up exactly what we looked at last week, because you'd think that if people had a little bit of faith, they'd get something. No, nothing. No wavering, no double-mindedness. And here the word double-minded literally means two-souled. Two, thinking two different ways. And one, you know, like one time, you know, example, Peter walking on the water, the next minute he's sinking. One moment there's faith, another moment the faith is gone. See, faith is not some great quantity where you get to a certain level and everything you always do after that point. No, you got to have faith in every situation that is required. It's got to be there. And that's good, because if I was told that I got to listen, if I was listening to God's word for 6 months, 6 years, 30 years, I'll eventually have faith and it never comes, then I'm going to say, well, somebody lied to me, because that's not what the word says. The word says, I've got to act on the information if I want to have faith. That I can do. Just hearing and hearing and hearing and saying, well, where is that thing that I was hoping would come to me and it hasn't come to me yet? Because I never acted on the information. I never did what the word of God told me to do. So let's keep reading. Okay, where are we? Verse 7. A double-minded man, verse 8, is unstable in all his ways. Well, these are pretty serious statements here, aren't they? Double-minded, receive nothing. Double-mindedness leads to instability in all of our ways. You see, there are no backups when it comes to faith. There can be no, well, just in case. That's not faith. Faith is trusting confidence in God. If you'll remember the record of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it's a good example, right? They said, we know our God is able to deliver us, but if not, whatever reason, we're not going to bow. See, there was no backup plan. They weren't like, well, if you get us close to the fire and it feels kind of hot, maybe we'll be asked to, no. There was no backup plan. Absolute confidence in God. No second way. So double-mindedness leads to instability. Let your eye be single, the word of God says. Let it be single. Straight, you look at this thing, you don't look at other things. You don't let other kinds of light come in. You look at God's word, and that's the single, that's faith, confidence in the word and acting on the word of God. In verse 21 of the same chapter, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Now that's interesting, considering what we just read in Romans chapter 1. Just hearing only then wouldn't be enough, would it? What's the requirement? Be ye doers of the word. And that lines up exactly what Romans chapter 10 said. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And if I'm thinking, if I just hear it enough time, hear it and hear it and hear it, it's going to come, then I am deceiving myself. And I have done that in areas. Now, this is what the word of God says. We need to be doers of the words. If I hear a promise of God's word, then I've got to do it. If the Lord Jesus Christ told them, lay hands on sick, they shall recover, that's what I've got to do. Cast out devils, that's what I've got to do. Speak in tongues, that's what I've got to do. See, this is acting on God's word. It's not having some kind of thing, well, you know, if I just hear it enough and hear it, I've got to do it. And that is the great thing about that is we can actually do it. If I want to grow and edify myself, I've got to speak in tongues much. If I know about it and say, well, you know, it's a really nice thing to know, I never speak in tongues, I'm not going to get edified. I'm not going to get built up. It's not going to happen. If I'm not going to lay hands on sick or offer ministering or to people, guess what? It's not going to happen. Right? We have to act on God's. That's faith. Faith. You know, God is not going to do what He wants us to do. It's not going to happen. Right? I've got to do it, and that is sometimes a little bit scary. Right? But that's faith. If I already had something, then it wouldn't be faith, would it? But that's faith. You act on what you know is true because you know the author, and we know the author. God is the author. And we act on His word without any, you know, double-mindedness, and He will certainly bring it to pass. That's His promise, not our promise. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, there it is again, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. You look in the mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Do not remember. It's like hearing God's word. If you never act on it, You're not even going to remember that promise because you know, it's not, let's keep reading here, verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, you hear the word of God, you continue, you do it, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Then you're not going to forget. So you look at the mirror and you go, you walk away, goes, what did I look like? It's almost nonsense to think that, isn't it? But that's what it is. You hear God's word, you hear it, but you never act on it, you forget it. Because there's nothing like remembering what the Word of God says than actually acting on it and seeing it work. You go, I'm never going to forget that promise. I know God's faithful and He'll keep His promises. That's faith, staying put on God's Word and doing it. And here He gives the example, verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. In other words, people talk about it. They talk about it all the time, you know. I can, and he says, look, just bridle your tongue. Stop talking about it. Pure religion, verse 27, undefiled before God and the Father is this. Visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. See, men, people may talk a big talk, but what about the actions? What are the actions of the talk? Is it faith without action is just talk, right? It's just talk. And we don't want to just be talking about the Word of God. We actually want to do it. And here the example was, you know, get out there, you help people, and you keep yourself unspotted from the world. These are actions you take on the Word of God to stay out of the world. You stay separate from the world, but something you've got to do, right? So what is faith? Faith, how do you get faith? You act on what the Word of God says. That is faith. Just hearing it is not faith. Hearing it is referred to as just hearing it. Very complicated, right? James chapter 2. Okay, and this is the section here that Martin Luther would have had some difficulty with. But we'll read it. You'll see it's very simple. I'm sure you know. Chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him or deliver him? Can faith do that? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. You see that faith without works is dead, being alone. So what does it mean to have faith? It means to act. Isn't that what it says? Faith without works is dead. It's not a living faith. It's a dead faith. Faith without works. You have to act in order to have faith. And we'll see this here in the context. Verse 18. Yea, man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So what is the context? Context is, to indicate that you have faith, you see the resultant works of the faith that you have. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about if you've got faith, then you're going to see the works based on that faith. That's what it's talking about. Verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. You see, in the context, I'm thinking, what does that mean? Well, you know, the devils believe there's a God. They actually end up doing something. They tremble because of it. Do Christians tremble because of God? Do they reverence God that much? You see, the contrast is a little striking here, isn't it? He's saying, look, the devils believe this. He goes, you believe there's God. That's good. The devils believe it. They actually tremble. They actually believe He exists. They actually do something about it, like they tremble. He's not saying we ought to be scared of God. We ought to act. We ought to understand and reverence Him, understand that His word is true, and we can believe His word and have faith on it, act on it, right? Keeping on going here. But, verse 20, wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Right? Not a living faith, not a real faith. Now here it is, verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? So there's the corresponding action. He said justified, he offered Isaac. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? You see the connection there with his works. And by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture, here's the verse, was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed on him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. And this is the verse Martin Luther had trouble with. But in the context, what exactly does it say here? That verse, by the way, Abraham believed God and was computed unto him for righteousness, is the same verse that Paul the Apostle quotes in Romans when he talks about justification without works. And so here, James is quotes the same verse from Genesis, exactly like Paul quoted it. So you see, it's not a contradiction. The point that they're making here, and it's very simple, is that Abraham's works showed the faith that he had. There's nothing more complicated than that. And if you want to get into the details of the figures of speech, it's a metonymy of subject. In other words, the works that you do show, the reason you're doing those works shows the faith that you have. It's nothing complicated. Right. It shows the faith that you have. They are speaking of the same type of justification. James emphasizes that the end or perfecting of Abraham's faith, which was based on believing God, was shown by his works, sacrificing Isaac. The basis of the faith was that he believed God. He acted on the faith. His act of obedience on Mount Moriah, which is where he took Isaac, fulfilled Genesis 15:6, which said Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and demonstrated that Abraham's faith was living and not dead. Abraham's faith was perfected or brought to a consummation by acting on what he believed. You see, faith is the root, works are the fruit of that faith. There's no contradictory. And despite what Luther said, there's no contradiction here. If you have faith, it is shown forth by works. So if I say, I really believe God's word, I know God's word, but I never act on it, it is dead. That faith is dead. Does this make sense with what it says in Romans? See, just shall live by faith. Was Abraham living by faith? Of course he was. We know that. It's the same justification. But how did we know he was living in faith? He offered up his only begotten son. It demonstrated the faith that he had. And that is faith, when you actually act on the information that you've received. He had received the information, and Abraham acted on it. And we have received information. Do we act on it? When we act on it, that is faith. That's why in order to have faith, we have to act. It may be scary. It may not seem like something you feel comfortable doing, or anything, and it depends on what area you're talking about, but it's what the Word of God demands. It's what God requires in order for us to walk in faith. Matthew chapter 7. That word, if you're interested in looking up that figure of speech, it's called metonymy of subject. You can look it up where the actual results are put for the things that produce those results. In this case, Abraham's works showed the faith that he had. In that case, it's totally is fits perfectly with Romans chapter 7, and that's why that same verse is quoted by James and by Romans from Genesis 15:3. So as regards healing, you know, what are the examples of the actions that we've seen? And again, remember I said this faith is something that applies to a large, broad category of life, all categories of life. But when regards to healing, you know, when Jesus Christ healed the man with the withered hand, what did he tell him to do? Stretch forth thy hand. He couldn't do that. That's the action. He told him to take an action. You want to see faith working? Stretch forth your hand. Get up and walk. Take that by bed and go. You know, in the name of Jesus Christ, Peter grabbed that man, lifted him up. He couldn't get up. You see, the faith, the action on the Word of God, that is faith. Matthew chapter 7, he put it the same truth, slightly different way, but the same truth. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus ended those sayings, that people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. So this, you know, parable, this thing he tells them here, the only difference between those two men is what? They heard the same message. It says in verse 24, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and then in verse 26, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, they both heard this, the same teaching. They both heard the same information. The only difference between these two people here in verse 24, and doeth them, and verse 26, and doeth them not. That's the only difference between those two guys. And the end result of doing what information had been presented was what? Floods came, winds blew, and beat upon and fell not. It was founded upon a rock. Stability. Double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. When you walk out in God's word, stability. Because Jesus Christ, do what I tell you, nothing's going to touch you. The winds can come, they can blow around, they can do all this thing. You're not going to fall because you've built your house upon a rock. What is that? The word of God. Walking out on God's word. Having faith to walk out on God's word. And it's not a complicated lesson. But it should be pretty clear that just hearing something many, many times, you know, and it's good. It's good to hear these things many, many times. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's a good thing. We all do it. And it's a good thing because it helps us. But hearing it is not enough. We have to walk out and do what the word of God says. And in the area of healing, that means, you know, we'll look at more things, confession. We're going to look at confession at some point here, and we're going to look at other things. But the things that we can do to get healing for ourselves, to get healing for other people, they're actions, and Jesus Christ tells us what they are. And the Word of God tells us what they are. But we have to do them. We have to actually take those actions if we're going to see faith in our lives. The parallel record of this in Matthew, from Luke, he starts off by saying, how come you guys call me Lord and don't do what I say? That's the parallel record. That's an interesting. So if Jesus Christ is Lord of our life, he's our master, we're the servants, or doulos, we're slaves, then we ought to do what he tells us to do. You know, and if you look at all the examples I wrote here in Hebrews chapter 11, you guys know that wonderful chapter about faith. By faith this, by faith this, by faith this. If you go look down that list of all those men and women that are mentioned there, what does it say? Abel offered, Noah prepared, Abraham obeyed, went out, Abraham offered, Moses refused, Moses suffered affliction, they subdued kingdoms, wrought, obtained, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, made strong, waxed valiant. And you see all these, are what are they? They're verbs. They're all things they did to act on the information they had. And God calls that faith. He said, look, they did what I said. That's faith. To walk out on what the Word of God says, that is faith. That is how you get faith, by acting on the Word of God you know. You might say, what's the action I'll take? Well, faith is not passive, something that just comes to you. Right? You want to have faith? Act on God's Word. And what action should you take? Well, whatever applies to the particular situation at hand. God is not going to do what he expects us to do. It's not the way the Word of God works. Don't we need a word from the Lord? Well, concerning the topic of healing, we already have it. It's the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, which allows you to confess wherever and wherever you are, by his stripes I was healed. His command to preach the gospel to every creature, to cast out devils, to speak in tongues, to lay hands on the sick, that they shall recover, and to know that nothing shall by any means hurt us, are words to start from. And as we walk out on faith on those words, we can always be sure that God will provide anything else that we might need, whether it's information, guidance, or whatever it is. But we're the ones who have to act on the Word of God that has been given to us. And whatever category that we're talking about. So if I want to have faith, I want to say, I've got faith, God, in this area. I'm going to do what your word tells me, and I'm going to let you worry about how you bring it to pass. But I'm the one, we're the ones that have to actually have faith enough to act and watch God work. Okay?